Today, the mother of all bubbles continues. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. A seven-day global stock market rally slowed down in Asia on Friday, as uncertainty over the Federal Reserve's plans for interest rate cuts made investors more cautious, though equities have recovered from a plunge after Trump's April 2nd Liberation Day tariff announcement that set off fears of a recession. The MSCI All Country World Index dropped 0.2% as Asian stocks ended their longest winning streak since January. Hong Kong shares fell 1.1% and Japan's Topix slipped 0.8% after hitting a record high on Thursday. The ASX 200 in Australia fell 0.5% with 7 out of the 11 sectors in the red. But the benchmark S&P 500 kept tallying all-time highs during the week. The S&P 500 has surged 28% since its low for the year a week later, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite jumped 38% in that time. Market volatility measures have eased considerably, though. The volatility index was 60 back in April, but is now below its long-term median at 17.6 for most of July, and on Wednesday, it posted its lowest close in 5 months. The record-setting rally has lifted valuations to historically expensive levels. The S&P 500 was trading at 22.6 times earnings estimates. That's well above its long-term average PE of 15.8, even as the S&P 500 market breadth is narrow, as a small number of high-tech stocks are responsible for the bulk of the uplift, which could make the market vulnerable to disappointments in the coming weeks. Apollo Global chief economist Torsten Slok said investors should be wary of how increasingly concentrated the market is becoming. If you had invested $1 million in the S&P 500 on January the 1st, 2021, your return today would be $660,000, of which more than half would have been coming from the top 10 biggest companies in the index. Under the hood, world debt has risen to a record high, above $300 trillion. The US money supply M2 reached a record $22 trillion in June, and global liquidity reached a record $113 trillion, tracking the S&P 500, actually, while CNN's Fear and Greed Index ended the week at 74, just shy of extreme greed territory. Four of the measure's seven indicators, stock price strength, stock price breadth, safe haven demand, and junk bond demand, were in extreme greed territory. And US margin debt has also reached another high, signaling risks ahead too. And by the way, jobless formation has also become generously low. Yet equity markets are setting all-time highs seemingly every other day, with valuations historically stretched and investors ignoring rising bond yields, the threat of a tariff war, and policy instability. Gold is surging to levels previously unthinkable as well, and cryptocurrencies are through the roof. And by the way, house prices are stubbornly high too, even in the face of higher interest rates. And now, once again, we've got another dash of trash with meme stocks with eye-popping gains in highly shorted stocks, such as Kohl's and Opendoor. In the last week, a meme has started doing the rounds on social media that depicts a homeless man in a dystopian future city surrounded by humanoid robots and clutching a sign that reads, "Didn't amass generational wealth before the singularity. This is a moment when we can't tell human intelligence from artificial intelligence," by the way. In the current bubble, those on the fringe are turning to speculation to bridge the chasm, as forces are at work to debase assets from gold, Bitcoin, equities, and yes, even real estate. First, US President Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill ushers in tax cuts and keeps stimulatory government deficits growing, albeit at a gentler pace than in the pandemic. Bank of America strategist Michael Harnett says the US government's continued high spending may require interest rate cuts to avoid an unsustainable debt burden. With annual interest payments nearly 1 trillion US, roughly 4% of US GDP, Harnett notes those costs would stabilize only if the Fed funds rate falls below 3%. When there is too much debt and borrowing, the classic way of dealing with it is to push real interest rates down and devalue money, Ray Dalio said this week. He's spot on. Hence, second, we've got every White House official from Trump down pummeling Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell to cut US interest rates despite strong US jobs data on Thursday, which weakened the argument for Fed rate cuts. While no rate cut is expected at next week's Fed meeting, expectations of further cuts this year have dropped to less than 2 after the jobless claims fell for the 6th week in a row. Trump recently became the 4th US president in history to visit the Federal Reserve, evoking parallels to FDR's 1937 appearance at the opening of the Fed building. At current spending levels, Harnett quips, the US government will spend the equivalent of the Fed's $2.6 billion renovation in the next 3 hours and 12 minutes. However, Trump seems to have moved away from wishing to fire Powell, at least for now, and Powell has informed multiple associates and allies that he will not resign despite President Donald Trump's calls for him to step down. That's according to CNN. Third, the markets are betting that the tariff war appears to have been left behind us. This week, we've got the illogical experience of markets apparently rising on news of new tariff deals that have been struck, of tariff levels undreamt of before, and as the US talks of new deals with Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines, adding to previously announced agreements with the UK and China. By the way, the EU and Korea are pending. Fourth, we've got a ticking clock with the inflation outlook. Inflation break-evens tell us investors believe US inflation will be considerably higher in 5 years' time, so the time to grab assets could well be now. And finally, we've got equities, crypto, housing, and gold setting fresh new highs in the past month, feeding momentum, speculation, and FOMO. In a week to Wednesday, bond and money market funds attracted the largest share of investment flows, while cryptocurrency funds recorded their biggest 4-week cumulative inflow ever at $12.2 billion. That's according to Bank of America. As Societe Generale strategist and Uber bear Albert Edwards said, one thing I can promise you all with 100% certainty, when this mega bubble finally bursts, almost everyone you meet will say it was obvious. Yet, despite the fact that the S&P 500's record-setting spree may be soaking concerns about inflated share prices and a revival of meme stock froth, JP Morgan Chase & Co.'s trading desks don't seem concerned. Rather, it expects the furious rally in US equities to keep going, while bullishness is not yet consensus. Even those that skewed bearish are throwing in the towel, according to the head of global market intelligence, Andrew Tyler, said in a note on Thursday. And on Friday, the main Wall Street indices finished the week with gains, with the blue-chip Dow Jones Industrial Average almost 1% higher on the week. The tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite was also at similar levels, while the S&P 500 rose 1.1% across the week. Almost 83% of the 155 S&P 500 companies that have reported to date beat Wall Street's expectations, helping both the latter two indices to fresh all-time intraday highs and closing highs on Thursday. Intel shares traded sharply lower, though, pre-market, after the chipmaker said late on Thursday that it expects steeper losses than Wall Street forecast in the third quarter, and announced plans to slash jobs. The company plans to reduce headcount to 75,000 by the end of the year, down 22% from the end of 2024, which will be through attrition and other means. It was last at $20.70, compared with $50 back in 2024. Google's parent Alphabet reported a 14% jump in revenue to $96.4 billion in the second quarter. Profit rose by as much as 19% year-on-year to $28.2 billion. The cloud business performed particularly well, with revenue up 32% to $13.6 billion. Google's services, led by Search and YouTube, also grew significantly, up 12% to $82.5 billion. Its shares were at $193.18, still below the 205 level we saw in early February. The situation is different for electric car manufacturer Tesla. Profits fell by 16% to $1.17 billion in the second quarter, the second decline in a row. Revenue fell by 12% to $22.5 billion, falling short of analysts' expectations. One of the main reasons for this was that vehicle sales shrank by 13.5% to around 384,000 units. Even the new version of the successful Model Y has not been able to compensate for the decline so far. Tesla is feeling the effects of strong competition, particularly outside the US, for example, from Chinese suppliers, and in Europe, where the company has a production facility, sales figures have been declining for months. Tesla is also being weighed down by political developments in the US. President Donald Trump plans to let electric car subsidies expire at the end of September and abolish the CO2 penalties for combustion engines. Tesla has benefited greatly in the past from selling emission certificates to other manufacturers. The possible loss of this revenue is an additional blow to the company. Tesla was at $316.06, compared to the recent peak of $480. Oil prices slid on Friday after the previous session's sharp gains, supported by hopes of more US trade deals ahead of President Donald Trump's nearing deadline. Brent futures sat at $68.39 a barrel, and US West Texas Intermediate crude sat at $65.07 a barrel. Both contracts jumped more than 1% on Thursday after data showed a sharp decline in US crude inventories. The Wall Street Journal, in the exclusive, also revealed that Chevron is set to resume oil production in Venezuela, thanks to new discussions involving President Donald Trump. Gold futures for August delivery were down 1.01% to $3,338.50 a troy ounce, extending a two-day decline as easing trade tensions and a rebound in investor risk appetite reduced demand for safe haven assets. The euro-US dollar was unchanged at 1.1742, while the US dollar-Japanese yen rose 0.44% to 147.66. The US dollar future index was up 0.31% to 97.67. US President Donald Trump expressed mixed views on dollar strength on Friday, suggesting that while a strong dollar sounds good and feels good psychologically, a weaker currency provides greater economic benefits for American manufacturers and exporters. The index has fallen approximately 10% during the 6 months of Trump's presidency. European stocks fell on Friday, reversing gains from the previous day, as investors reviewed mixed corporate earnings and awaited updates on the EU-US trade talks ahead of President Trump's tariff deadline next week. The ECB left its deposit rate at 2% on Thursday, aligning with market expectations. The regulator noted that the Eurozone economy was resilient, but warned that the outlook remains exceptionally uncertain, primarily due to persistent trade tensions. While another rate cut remains possible, markets are now less confident that it will occur by the end of the year. Following the decision, Eurozone bond yields continued to rise, while the euro edged lower. The Stock 600 index dropped 0.4% to 549.96 points, but achieved a small weekly gain. The UK FTSE fell 0.4%, pulling back from a record high that it achieved on Thursday. While most other European markets were also down, the DAX index in Germany dropped 0.4%, and the CAC 40 in France did gain 0.2%. A European Commission spokesman said on Thursday that the deal between the European Union and the US on trade tariffs was, quote, within reach, ahead of the August 1st deadline, when US President Donald Trump has threatened to impose a sweeping 30% levy on EU imports. Such a deal is likely to result in a broad tariff of around 50%, applying to EU goods imported into the US, according to Reuters. In the corporate sector, Volkswagen stocks fell after the German auto giant cut its financial forecast for the year, while Europe's largest car maker revealed a 1.3 billion euro tariff hit. It wasn't all bad news, though, with Rémy Cointreau shares rising after the French spirits maker raised its full-year profit guidance and posted stronger-than-expected first-year quarter sales, helped by a reduced tariff impact in China. And NatWest Group stocks rose after the British lender reported an 18% surge in first half profits as interest income boosted its operating results. On the economic front, UK consumer confidence, though, fell in July as the country grapples with weak economic growth and persistent inflation. That's according to data released on Friday from research group GfK. UK retail sales grew by 0.9% in June, bouncing back from a 2.8% drop in May, but falling short of the expected 1.2% increase. This was the fourth rise this year. Food sales were up 0.7%, recovering from a 5.4% drop in May, thanks to better supermarket sales, especially beverages, boosted by warm weather. Fuel sales saw a big jump of 2.8%, the largest since May, again helped by the good weather, and online sales rose 1.7%, reaching their highest level since February 2022. Non-food sales increased slightly by 0.2%, with department stores and clothing shops benefiting from promotions and, guess what, weather-driven demand. The German LFO Business Climate shows a small deterioration in sentiment in July as growth in the wider European economy remains hard to find. But second quarter earnings for European companies have come in ahead of expectations, with financials and US exposed sectors leading the surprise, according to Bank of America. The upside has been dominated by financials, they said, which were expected to have a subdued quarter. Despite the strong headline EPS figure, breadth was also a concern, they said. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday, but were headed for strong weekly gains as they benefited from increased optimism over US trade tariffs and AI. Japanese shares were by far the best performer this week, having surged near record highs after Tokyo and Washington announced a trade deal, but mixed inflation data offset some cheer over Japanese shares on Friday. Japan's Nikkei 225 and Topic indices fell around 0.5% on Friday, but were trading up around 4% each for the week. The Topic hit a record high on Thursday, while the Nikkei was close to record highs last seen in July 2024. Tokyo consumer inflation data for July showed a slightly bigger than expected easing in prices, but core inflation still remained above the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target, keeping uncertainty over the central bank's rate hikes largely in play. Hong Kong's Hang Seng fell 0.7% on Friday, but was trading up 3.3% over the week. The Hang Seng was boosted chiefly by an extended rally in technology stocks, and investors welcomed the prospect of regaining access to chips from Nvidia, which are a major factor in AI development. Broader cheer over AI followed positive earnings from Alphabet, and that also kept tech stocks relatively upbeat, although the sector was seen losing momentum in recent sessions. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices fell 0.4% and 0.2% respectively, but were trading up around 2% across the week. Focus is now on China's Politburo meeting, a convening of top political leaders for some cues on the economy. It's supposed to be convened in late July. South Korea's KOSPI was an outlier for the day, rising 0.3% following some positive earnings, but the index was only trading up 0.3% across the week amid growing uncertainty over a trade deal with the US, and recent talks have been cancelled. At the close, the Indian Nifty 50 fell 0.9% to hit a new one-month low, and the Indian VIX was up 5.29% to 11.29. The Australian share market failed to take a positive lead from Wall Street as the decline in iron ore prices weighed on the major miners and investors continued to dump bank stocks. The ASX was also dented by some weak signals from the Reserve Bank of Australia about when it might cut interest rates next, see my earlier post. The benchmark ASX 200 fell 0.5%, 8,666.9 on Friday, with 7 out of 11 sectors in the red. Despite US equity markets closing at record high levels, driven by positive tech results, the ASX drifted lower, weighed down by Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock's speech this week, tempering rate cut hopes, said Wilson Asset Management senior investment analyst Hayley Kim. On the ASX, Woodside Energy rose 3.7% to $26.20, and Santos was up 1% to $7.78 as oil prices climbed for a second day amid optimism over US trade talks ahead of next week's deadline. Iron ore futures in Singapore, though, dropped 1.9% to $103.10 a ton amid signs of oversupply. Shipments from Port Hedland Australia's largest bulk export terminal, hit a record in June. The seaborne iron ore market is seeing record supply, said Westpac's head of commodity strategy, Robert Rennie. Meanwhile, Chinese steel production year to date is at the lowest in 5 years. BHP dropped 1.9% to $4.80. Fortescue tumbled 3.4% to $18.35. And Rio Tinto came off 0.8% to $118.86. The correction in bank stocks also extended into Friday's session as investors took profits on the stellar run in Commonwealth Bank shares. For weeks, the CBA share price seemed to defy gravity and the will of thousands of fund managers and brokers who could not believe its rise. By late last month, shares in the country's largest lender had recorded an almost 25% rise since the start of the year. But the gloss finally may be coming off. At its peak, CBA stock made up 12% of the entire ASX 200 index, a dominance that alarmed many investors, who suggested it could be one reason for a lack of floats. Money that could otherwise make its way to smaller companies was being locked away in major banks as fund managers worried that staying clear would hurt their returns. CBA's share price soared almost 25% across the year, but the country's biggest bank has seen some $30 billion worth wiped from its market capitalization since the peak in June. The great rotation is a theme that many investors like to mention. Out of the banks with their expensive shares and low growth, and into mining giants helped by strong iron ore prices. Since its June 25th peak of $191.40 per share, CBA is down 9.4% and its market capitalization is now around $290.3 billion. Actually, all four lenders traded lower. Banks remain under pressure after rising inflation risks push bond yields higher, driving an unwinding of momentum trades and rotation out of the sector, said Wilson Asset Management's Kim. The rise in the ASX 200 Materials Index suggests the great rotation is well and truly underway. The index is up 12.5% over the past month, and the three iron ore majors, BHP, Rio Tinto, and Fortescue, are all up more than 15%, powered by a surge in commodity prices, but NAB, ANZ, and Westpac are all down along with CBA. Gold miners also slipped as traders ramped up bets the US Federal Reserve would keep monetary policy on hold for now, weighing on prices of the precious metal. Northern Star came off 2.8% to $15.81, Evolution 3.2% to $7.30, and Perseus 2.5% to $3.56. But Newmont rose 3.8% to $95.38 after reporting a quarterly adjusted net income of $1.6 billion, beating consensus by a massive 23%. In corporate news, KMD Brands jumped 4.4% to 24 cents after tapping Qantas Chief Executive Carla Webb-Sear to become its Chief Financial Officer. Steadfast Group dipped 1.5% to $5.82 on news that long-serving Chief Financial Officer Stephen Humphries would retire at the end of August. Regal Partners jumped 9% to $2.90 after investment manager reported a 7% lift in funds under management for the June quarter, with net inflows of around $600 million for the period, and Bapcor shares firmed 1.6% to $3.72 after tanking nearly 30% on Thursday, with fund manager Tirana Capital lifting its stake in the ailing automotive parts group through $26 million worth of share buying, and microcap Istana rocketed 26.2% to 8 cents after the software developer reported quarterly revenue of $490,000, up 13% on the third quarter financial year 25, generated by deployments of existing orders and contract renewals. The Aussie was at 65.67 US cents and 48.86 UK pence, and the 2-year bond was at 3.431. More broadly, as the ABC highlighted, Australian companies, worryingly, are spending much less on R&D than the US or the UK or OECD, China or the EU. This does not bode well for the future. And finally, in crypto, Bitcoin was trading near 117,000 US after hitting an all-time high recently, supported by positive news in the digital asset market. Approvals of new cryptocurrency exchange-traded funds and announcements from major firms regarding expansion plans have benefited crypto market. Bitcoin began its potential pullback on Thursday. Over the past 3 weeks, Ethereum has more than doubled, while XRP has risen by 38%, both outpacing Bitcoin's rise. However, without further Bitcoin gains, altcoins, which had previously driven the market higher, do face selling pressures. The US Securities and Exchange Commission approved converting of the Bitwise cryptocurrency index fund into an ETF. However, it almost immediately suspended the process to conduct additional verifications. This action suggests regulators remain cautious about approving ETFs backed by XRP or lesser known digital assets. Meanwhile, investors turn their attention to Bitcoin's possible growth after Japanese AI company Quantum Solutions announced plans to buy 3,000 Bitcoins, citing the recent trade deal between the US and Japan. But all up, the bubble is getting even more wobbly. It's actually more of a question of when, not if, things go pop. Of course, that's the trouble with bubbles. Riding them can be richly rewarding, but knowing when to head for the exits is the trick. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.